Glad to hear it. Okay, well, we're back in Corinthians today, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you've been here the past several Sundays, you know we've been looking at the first few chapters of Corinthians. I strongly recommend, if this is your first day in this series, that you pick up the tapes from the last 2 weeks, because we covered a lot of really significant things in these chapters. The main thing that we saw here in Corinthians is that these believers in Corinth, they were born again of God's Spirit, and not only born again, but they knew what they had in Christ. They knew the truths of Romans. They knew that they were righteous by the completed work of Jesus Christ. They knew what he had done for them, but somewhere along the line, they let some other things slip in. They let some other things slip in other than just complete righteousness by God's grace, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. They let some other little things slip into the church there in Corinth, and it affected things to a radical degree. They let other standards slip into the body of Christ. There's only room for one standard in the body of Christ. That is, saved by grace. But they were allowing other standards to come in. And whenever you have other standards besides saved by grace in the body of Christ, then you've got grounds for boasting, don't you? Because if it makes a difference what you used to be, that you used, you had to work a lot harder for your salvation than I did, then you have grounds for boasting. Okay? If somehow your background or the believers you know or what you do in service in the body of Christ is more significant than what I do, then you have grounds for boasting, don't you? And that's exactly what they were doing. And one of the great lessons of chapter 1 there was that, no, there are no other standards in the body of Christ. All that gets left outside. And there's only room for boasting about one, and that's God and how gracious he's been to us. That term boasting or glorying is a real significant one in these chapters. And last week we looked briefly that there is one time and one time only when it appears from the Word of God that you and I will have something to glory in. The word boasting or glorying, it's used in the sense of you being the center of attention, you being the one in the spotlight. And the only time I can see in the Word that even suggests that you and I will be in the spotlight is after the gathering together. And I think that's really significant, because after the gathering together, we won't have the old man nature, will we? So even if we are in the spotlight, we won't be declaring our self-righteousness because of it, you know. And so these are some of the things that are handled in those first chapters, and they continue to get addressed in what we're going to look at today. Another great thing that comes up regarding these Corinthians is they were endeavoring to look wise in the eyes of the world and wise in the eyes of God at the same time. And they were endeavoring to walk in the world's power and walk in God's power at the same time. And Corinthians makes it clear that it's an impossibility, because the wisdom of God is always going to look foolish in the eyes of the world, and the wisdom of the world is always going to look foolish in the eyes of God. The power that the world thinks it has is always going to look pretty darn weak compared to the power of God, but the power of God is always going to look weak in the eyes of the world. Now, why is this? Why is this? Well, we'll find out in the section we look at today. In chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." See, we've received the Spirit of God, right? We've received the Spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So apparently, receiving the Spirit is a prerequisite to knowing what's freely given of God. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So here's wisdom again. Two kinds, right? Man's wisdom and the wisdom that the Holy Spirit teaches. And it says it's the latter, it's the wisdom that the Holy Spirit teaches that we speak in, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." And here's the explanation. Here's why. This verse is going to tell us why God's power is always going to look weak to the world, and God's wisdom is always going to look foolish to the world, even though to the believer, God's power is so much greater than anything the world has, and God's wisdom is so much wiser than anything the world. How come the world can't see it? Well, this verse explains why. It says, "Because the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God." I need to stop and tell you who this natural man is, okay? The natural man is, very simply, what man is by nature. And we know, most of us are aware, that since the fall of Adam, by nature, man is born with how many parts? Two parts, body and soul. There's one other part that Adam had that man is now born without by nature. And that part is spirit. So the man who is body and soul without spirit is called the natural man. The natural man. Okay? He's the natural man. He may have a very developed physical body, a developed brain, but he doesn't have spirit. See? And that's why it says this natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Oh, you see, the only way to know the wisdom of God is by the Spirit of God. If I don't have the Spirit of God, how can I know the wisdom of God? I can't. It's going to look foolish to me. If I don't have the Spirit of God, how can I really tap into the power of God? I can't. It's going to look weak to me. That's why the wisdom of God will always look foolish to the world, because they can't perceive it. They don't have the equipment to perceive it. One of our believers, I was going through my files a few months ago. I came across a poem written by one of our very own believers. And I thought I would save it till a Sunday when it was appropriate. And nothing could be more appropriate because it's dealing with the natural man. This poem was written, by the way, in 1970. 32 years ago this poem was written. And I'll read it to you. It says, "It's natural to want the family car so you can drive to the local bar. It's natural to drink your troubles away and want the rain some other day. Do you only pay attention to what you see and know only the things in the midst of thee? Do you worry just as much as you can? Then I would say you're a natural man. It's natural to want to get ahead. Before you sleep in it, you make your bed. Are you climbing fast to get to the top and shoving so hard you'll finally drop? Do you worry and stew and fret each day about bills and jobs and this USA? Do you live by what's truthful or factual? Do you still depend on what is natural? It could be natural to live like there's no tomorrow. Forget your cares. Forget your sorrow. Go out and have a ball. Is that a crime after all? Is sex all you ever think about? Does your temper flare? Do you often shout? You could live to be 83 just doing what comes naturally. Say, mister, where is your head? Do you believe God raised Christ from the dead? If you will to believe in Christ, you can. You don't always have to be just a natural man." Can any of you guess who that was written by? Jamin, I'll let you guess. Can you guess who it was written by? Your dad, Jerry Carotti. So I'll go hide it again, Jerry. Bring it out in another 30 years. He wrote that when he was 6 years old, by the way. Or thereabouts. But pretty good description of the natural man. You know, it makes me think of that song. You know, that song, "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman." That's not a good thing. That, you girls, okay, if you find a guy that makes you feel like a natural woman, that's not somebody you want to hang out with. Because the natural man's body and soul, he's limited. He can't understand the things of God. He can't understand the things of God. And because he can't understand them, he decides, well, they're just foolish. They don't make sense to me, so they must be foolish. It doesn't make sense to me, so it must be foolish. You see why the wisdom of God is never going to look wise to the world? They don't have the equipment to appreciate it. They don't have the equipment to operate it. That's the natural man. He doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But in contrast, look at that. He that is spiritual, as opposed to he that is natural. Who would be he that is spiritual? Someone who has body, soul, and spirit, and is operating that spirit. He that is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Judge isn't the best translation here, perhaps. Discern might be a better translation. Or understands, figures out. You know, it's not judge in the sense of judging people guilty or innocent. But it's getting to the root of things, understanding what's really going on. The man or woman who's got the Spirit of God can rise above and see beyond what's happening in the senses realm. So in other words, the man with the Spirit of God can figure out the world, but the world can't figure out him. He can go to a godless culture somewhere and with the Spirit of God in him see what the heck's going on, and yet they can't understand what's going on in him. You understand? That's something that is reserved for those who have the Spirit of God. Quite a contrast to the natural man, isn't it? For who hath known the minds of the Lord that he may instruct him? But it says we who are spiritual have the mind of Christ. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Now look at chapter 3, because there's a third category of man. He says, "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now, Were the Corinthians born again of God's Spirit? Yeah, so they were not natural men, right? They had body, soul, and spirit. But Paul says they also weren't spiritual men. So we, you know, one kind is natural, body and soul. We got that down. Then it talks about those who are spiritual. He doesn't call them either one of those. He says you weren't spiritual, but we know they weren't natural because they had the Spirit of God. But he says he spoke to them as unto carnal. That's a third kind of person that's being talked about here. Okay, somebody who's carnal, carnal. The word carnal literally means fleshly, but it's got a deeper meaning than that, really, as we look at it in God's Word. Let's see what he says about these carnal people. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Oh, okay, so whatever this carnal person is, this carnal man is, here's a way to know them. Envying, strifes, and divisions. Did they have some of those in Corinth? Yeah, chapter 1 talked about that, right? They were all taking sides in all these issues and arguing with each other. Envying, strife, and division would be the earmark of a carnal man. Whatever a carnal man is, we know that when you find a carnal man, you're going to find envying, strife, and division. See? So, do you have a Christian who's thinking evil of other Christians? That would be a carnal man. Do you have a Christian who's holding grudges about things that happened 20 years ago? That would be a carnal man, right? Do you have a Christian who speaks less than the word of God about another Christian? That would be a carnal man. A Christian who thinks that they're a little better or a little worse because of what they do in the body of Christ? All those things would describe the carnal man, okay? Now, we don't know yet what this carnal man is, but I think this verse might tell us. There's in verse 3, one translator has it very sharply, and I think very accurately, that he says, you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as, where the King James says walk as men, this translator has it walk as mere men. Walk as mere men. Well, what would be a mere man? A natural man. A man of body and soul. Oh! So these are people who have body, soul, and spirit, right? We know that. They're born again. But they're walking. They're walking as natural men. They're living as natural men. The word walk biblically often just refers to the way you live your life. Can I have the Spirit of God and not use it? Sure, because God doesn't possess. When God gives his Spirit, the Spirit doesn't take over. So could I have the Spirit of God and then choose to still live like a natural man? Still live by the body and soul? Absolutely. And that would make me carnal. See? Oh, isn't that something? So you've got spiritual, you've got natural, and then you've got carnal. Someone who's got God's Spirit, but is not living according to that Spirit. Does that sound like the Corinthians? Oh, it sure does, right? They had the Spirit of God, but how are they living? Just like everybody else in the world is living. They were walking just like mere men, weren't they? Boy, that defines it. That defines it right there. They were born again, but they were living as though they were not born again. See? Well, how does a natural man, how does a mere man conduct his life? He's only got one way of conducting his life. By the five senses, right? By the five senses. He doesn't have the Spirit of God, so he can't judge spiritual matters. He can't understand spiritual things. All he's got, he's limited to what he can know by the five senses. The believer is not limited to what he can know by the five senses, but the believer can choose to limit himself or herself to what they know by the five senses. And that's what the Corinthians were doing. That's why a good explanation, although the word carnal literally means fleshly, as it's used in God's Word, it often is referring to someone who's living by the senses. Someone who has the Spirit of God, but is living their life, conducting their life, making their choices according to the senses rather than according to the Spirit. That's called carnal, okay? That's called carnal. Somebody whose senses ruled. See, verse 4, for while one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not yet carnal? Yeah, absolutely. There's a great example of someone who's, you see, because were they looking to God? No, they were looking to God's agents. They were looking to God's ministers and taking sides according to who their favorite minister was. Would that be something that you do by your senses? Yeah, it would. So that makes them carnal. Now, what's interesting about this is, again, were they born again of God's Spirit? Yes, they were. So did they have full rights in the family of God? Absolutely. Same rights as you and I have. That can't be taken away. Once you were born again in a moment of time, once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then all God has to give in Christ is yours. See, So they had it, didn't they? Oh, look down at the end of chapter 3, verse 21. He's trying to teach him something where he says in verse 21, "Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." Even though they were carnal, they were still God's in Christ, right? So he says, all things are yours. Paul, Apollos, Cephas, all of those guys are yours. Why are you just settling for one? See, they were taking sides. Well, I just like Apollos. I just like Paul. I just like Peter. What he's telling them is they're all yours. God gave all of them to you. Why are you limiting yourself to one or two? They're all there for you. Not only Paul, Apollos, and Cephas, but the world, life, death, things present, things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. So why the heck do you want to walk as mere men? See? So it's pretty interesting because everything that God gave in Christ was still theirs, but because they chose to walk by the senses, they did not have access to what God gave them in Christ. See? Let's look at a couple of the things the Word of God says about those who are spiritual. Things that would be reserved for those who are spiritual. Back in chapter 2, for example, verse 6, it says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." The word perfect is better translated maybe those who are mature. That would be those who are spiritual, okay? "We speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of the world that come to naught." So one thing that is limited to the spiritual is that he could speak wisdom to those who are spiritual. That's why he says when he came to Corinth, there was a lot of stuff he couldn't teach them. Because they were carnal. They were babes. They weren't grown up in Christ. See? So those who are walking spiritually can receive the deep things of God. Those who aren't walking are unable to receive the deep things of God. Look at, again, verse 15 we read, "He that's spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." If a man's walking carnally, even though he can be judged of no man, he can't judge what's going on because he's not walking spiritually. He's walking by his five senses. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Oh, here's a great one. And it should make tremendous sense to you in light of what we've looked at. Galatians chapter 6. It says in verse 1 of Galatians 6, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Oh, what great wisdom from the Word of God. So if somebody in the body of believers starts messing up, God says, you who are spiritual are the ones to restore him. How come just those who are spiritual? Because the carnal guy's going to judge him. The carnal guy's not going to handle him properly. The one who is spiritual, who is not walking by the senses, is qualified to help another believer back into standing on the Word of God. But the believer who is walking by his five senses, he's not qualified to help. He needs help. Oh, do you understand? He needs help. So those who are walking by the Spirit, those who God calls spiritual, that's something he calls upon them to do, to help those who are walking off of God's Word. I've seen a lot of carnal people try to help, and they usually just make things worse. See, that's why it says, "You who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." Let's look at Romans 15. We'll look at one more there in Romans 15 regarding those who are spiritual. It says in Romans 15, verse 1, "We then that are strong," which would be the mature, which would be the spiritual, the grown-up ones in Christ, "ought to make fun of the infirmities of the weak." No, we ought to do what? To bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Boy, that's wonderful from God's Word, okay? It doesn't say that those who are spiritual make fun of those who are carnal. If they're making fun, then that's a pretty good indication that they're carnal, isn't it? So those who are more mature in Christ are supposed to bear the infirmities. But we'll look at this in a little more depth in a minute. I want you to go back to chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians right now, because there's another term God uses to describe these individuals, which is a very sharp term. Maybe you caught it the first time through when we read it. He calls them carnal. He says that they walk as mere men. And he calls them something else here in verse 1 of chapter 3. where he says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto what? Babes in Christ. He calls them babes. What a great term. What an accurate term for the man or woman of body and soul who are not, body, soul, and spirit, who are still living on the level of the body and soul. They're like little babies. Do they have the whole package inside of them? Yeah, but it hasn't grown up, you see. It hasn't grown up. If you could be a little baby, you know, maybe if you've got a mom and dad different from me, they'd buy you a car when you're 6 months old, you know. I won't buy my kids a car when they're 16 years old, but that's me. But let's say your mom and dad bought you a car on the day of your birth. You know, they put it in the garage. Is it yours? Yeah. Can you do anything with it? No. Why? Because you're a babe, right? Because you're a babe. It's yours, but you don't know how to use it. Even if somehow you stumbled in there and managed to turn the key, you sure as heck wouldn't know how to use it, right? See, because you're a baby. You're a little baby. That's another term God uses very accurately to describe these Christians who are born again, but and know what they have in Christ, but are not living it. They're still living by the senses, okay? They're like little babies. They have everything God's given in Christ, but they don't have the wisdom, they don't have the maturity, they don't have the knowledge to use any of it. They can't handle it. They can't even handle the tricycle in the garage, let alone the car in the garage, even though it's theirs, see? The sad thing is, and the troublesome thing is, the carnal man thinks he can handle it. You know, he thinks he can handle that car, even though he's a babe in Christ. In fact, the carnal man thinks he can handle it better than you, which is a good sign that he's a carnal man. Oh, boy. Well, Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5, verse 12. Speaking to a similar group of believers, it says, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again what be the first principles of the oracles of God. This group of people, he says, by now you ought to be teaching the word, and you still need someone to teach you the basics. Sounds like carnal man, doesn't it? And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Who needs milk and not strong meat? A baby, right? That's why it says, For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. There it is, same group of people here, okay, addressed in Hebrews chapter 5. They were unskillful in the word of righteousness. This word unskillful is a great word because there are certain things you may be unskillful in no matter how hard you try. Okay, I've for golf, for example. I've given up trying. I've tried so many times. I'm going to be unskillful. There's just, you know, no two ways about it. No matter how hard I try, I'm going to be unskillful at golf. That's not this word, however. This word is talking about somebody who's unskillful because they've never used it. If you've never tried, if you've never played golf, of course you're going to be unskillful, right? And that's what it's talking about. Somebody who is not able to use their tools because they've never taken their tools out of the tool pouch. That would describe the carnal man, wouldn't it? They're born again. They have everything that God's given them for service in the body of Christ, but they're unskillful because they've never used it. See? And that's what he says. Those who have need of milk, they're unskillful. They're unskillful in the word of righteousness because they're babes. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, by reason of use, there's a doing involved. When I get born again of God's Spirit, I've got the Spirit of God, but then I need to choose to begin using it, to begin walking in it, to begin exercising it. See, and then I grow up to where I can handle meat and not just milk, to where I'm no longer unskillful in the word of righteousness. So it's talking about the same individuals here. Pretty interesting. They ought to be teachers, but they still need somebody to teach them. Now this is, boy, there's a lot that can be understood when we understand that the difference between the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man, and how God would refer to those carnal men as babes. Tremendous understanding. You know, many of you have fellowships, and you wonder why there's no new people, you know, why there's no new babes in your fellowship. In many cases, it's because all the cribs are taken by the old babes. You know, there's no spare bottles because the old babes are drinking out of them. You understand? You want new blood, you want new people, you want new believers in your fellowship. Empty out some of those cribs, you know? Some of you guys been in the Word 2, 3, 4 years, you're still in the crib. You know, you've been in the Word 2, 3, 4 years, you're still drinking out of a bottle. And we need those bottles and cribs for new people, see? By now, you ought to be a teacher of the Word. You ought to be active in the body of Christ. I'm saying 2, 3, 4, 5 so as to not embarrass people by saying 20, 25, or 30 years in the crib. Do you understand? If you're wondering why there's no new people showing up in your fellowship, maybe it's because there's no room in the cribs for them. We're so busy taking care of every little need and every little hurt feeling of the 40-year-old baby that we got no room for the one-month-old baby. You understand? We're so busy making sure we tell the 40-year-old baby that he's okay, it's all right, I'll give you a call 4 times this week so you remember that I love you. You know, no, you don't have to go out and speak the word. It's okay, I'll do that for you. How many people can I have walking on my feet at one time? Not too many. You see, I don't mean to be harsh here, but God said it before I said it. He said, you guys ought to be teachers of the word, and you still need to be taught. You're still babes. There's only room for so many babes in a family, right? So if you wonder in your fellowship, how come there's no new blood, maybe it's time to get some babes out of the cribs and get them grown up. I can't imagine a 40-year-old wants to stay in diapers, you know? Maybe we just need to help them out of the diapers and let them know that it's better to be grown up in Christ. They can drive that car. You know, some of you who have had children that you fed on bottles, you might remember that you had to do a whole ceremony to get them off of that bottle. They didn't need it anymore, but boy, after a couple of years, you get used to that bottle, don't you? A few of our teens, I noticed, brought theirs today. And I remember talking to a couple parents, they had to make it like this big party out of it, the day the bottle goes, and the child would walk over themselves and throw the bottle in the garbage can, and it was like a graduation ceremony. Well, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes, because it's hard to let go of those things, but doggone it, we need those cribs, we need those bottles, see? So grow up if you're a babe. Grow up. See? I don't mean to be harsh here, but again, this is what the Word of God says. You know, you might say, well, how can you call fellow Christians babes and carnal? That's awfully harsh. God calls them that. God calls them that. See? He doesn't call them unrighteous, but he calls them babes. He doesn't call them, you know, cast out of the presence of God, but he calls them carnal. Is this a love issue? Oh, no, like we saw in Romans 15. Right? Those who are strong bear the infirmities of the weak. There's love there. But there's also recognition. A babe is a babe. And God clearly marks in his word, if a Christian is behaving in this manner, they're a baby. If a Christian's behaving in this manner, there's carnal. And you treat a baby differently than you treat an adult. So is it thinking evil for me to recognize? I don't want to pick on Casey. I'll pick on Casey. Casey's speaking evil of everybody. Casey's taking sides, causing divisions. If I don't ask her to be a leader, is that thinking evil? No, that's just recognizing she's a babe. Anything unloving about that? No. How about in your earthly family? Is it unloving to recognize that the baby can't cut the lawn? You know, would it be better for us to tell that 6-month-old, get out there, get to work. It's about time you got to work around here. No, they're a baby. See, recognizing that they're a baby, is that harsh, cruel? No, that's just reality, right? Well, God shows us in his word how to recognize whether a Christian is a spiritual man or a carnal man. There's no lack of love for the carnal man, but there may be a lack of responsibility because we recognize there's things that carnal man just can't handle. You know? Now, we do want him to grow up. See, the difference between the earthly family and the spiritual family is that baby's got to grow up sooner or later, right? The carnal baby doesn't always grow up sooner or later. We can help them do so. And in a minute, I'll show you how the carnal man can grow up. Because, you know, no believer in their heart of hearts really wants to stay in that crib. They just might need a little help to get out of it. But again, we got no spare bottles. We need you to get out of those cribs. We need you functioning in the body of Christ, restoring people, teaching people, giving to the members of the body of Christ. You know, and again, no problem with the bottle if you've been in God's Word 2 months. You need the bottle. You need that crib. But if you've been in God's Word 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, you don't really need it anymore. We need you growing up and functioning, see? And we can grow up. There is a way given in God's Word that that carnal man can grow up to be a spiritual man or woman, see? And that's, let's look at 1 Peter. Right after Hebrews, there's James, and then 1 Peter, chapter 2. This is something we've looked at already today, but I'll show it to you in a different place in God's Word. First Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may what? Grow thereby, that you may grow thereby. See, so when Paul fed them milk, like he called it, when he fed them milk, was that a negative thing? No, he gave them milk for them to grow. Okay. But the difference is, you've got to swallow the milk. Okay? Paul fed the milk so they could grow, but just the fact that you're being fed milk is not going to guarantee that you grow. If you spit it up every time, you're not going to grow. Sometimes that happens with babies. You feed them all the right stuff and they spit it up, that baby's not going to grow. That baby's not going to live. See? Same thing with God's children. Okay? We feed them the milk of the word so that they can grow. But if there's still all they can handle is the milk of the word 10 years later, then they've been spitting it back up. They haven't really been feeding on that milk. They've been listening to it maybe, but they have been feeding on that milk because the word of God says the milk of the word is going to cause you to grow. And once you grow big enough, then what can you handle besides milk? Meat, okay? The problem with the believers in Hebrews 5 and in 1 Corinthians is they never got off the bottle. Well, then they were doing something wrong, because that milk of the word will cause one to grow if you swallow it, if you take it in. Very simple. Do you want to grow from being a carnal man to a spiritual man? You got to feed on the word of God. You got to feed on the word of God. Not just listen to it, but feed on the word of God. And I have never, and my experience doesn't matter because the word of God tells us regardless of my experience, but in my experience, I have never met a carnal man or woman who did not become a spiritual man or woman by feeding on the Word of God. Haven't found one yet. Now, I've found plenty who have said they're feeding on the Word of God, but when you really scratch the surface, you find out they're not at all. They're thinking about it. They're planning on it. They're getting down on themselves for not reading the Word of God, but when it comes down to feeding on the Word of God, they're never quite doing it. But for every carnal man or woman who has honestly decided to feed on that word of God, they grow. They grow. And obviously feeding means more than just coming on a Sunday morning and hearing somebody teach it, right? It means that you go home and you make that word of God your own. You feed on it. You feed on it. Then you're going to grow. That's the way God's provided for us to grow. That's it. That's it. It's very simple, isn't it? Oh, it's not that simple. Oh, yeah, it is. Well, I've tried that. No, you haven't. If you've tried it, then you've become spiritual. If you've tried it and are now carnal, it's because you stopped feeding on the word of God. Because the Word of God is the means by which God has provided for us to grow from carnal to spiritual, period. Now, some of you who are instructed might say, well, how about speaking in tongues? I thought you grew by speaking in tongues. That's true, but not in the capacity that we're talking, okay? Speaking in tongues builds you up spiritually, builds up the Spirit of God within you, builds up its capability, okay? But it doesn't make you mature. It builds up the Spirit of God in you, but it doesn't make you mature spiritually up here. You understand the difference? Okay, so you've been speaking in tongues a lot. Now you've got a tank in the garage, but you still don't know how to use it, you know? Now you've got a stealth bomber in the garage, but you still don't know how to use it. See, you understand? Speaking in tongues builds up the wealth of what you have within, but it doesn't make you any more mature. Oh, do you see the difference? Do we need to speak in tongues often? Absolutely. All the time speak in tongues. It builds up that capacity within for service to God's people spiritually. But it doesn't make you any more mature. If I'd never study God's word, I could have all that capability and not have the wisdom to use it, not have the maturity to use it in the way that God would have it used. See? This gift of Holy Spirit gives me power for service. But maturity is required to perform service God's way, and that maturity is reached by feeding on the Word of God. There's no other way to grow up from carnal to spiritual but feeding on the Word of God. Think about it. This is the Corinthians this is addressed to, right? Did the Corinthians operate the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Like crazy. And I mean like crazy. See? They had no problem with the manifestations. They were operating the manifestations all the time. And they were still what? Carnal. Did they have men with ruling ministries? Men with the ministries of Ephesians 4 in Corinth? I know they had some prophets at least. Well, if they're prophets, they must have been spiritual. God still calls them what? Carnal. You mean a man can have a ministry of God and still be carnal? Yeah. You mean a man can operate manifestations of the Holy Spirit and still be carnal? Yeah. Because there's only one way to... Those things are things that God gives you spiritually. There's only one way to grow up here to know how to use them God's way. Use them properly. Use them profitably, fruitfully. And that is by feeding on the Word of God. Oh, it might shock you. I thought certainly anybody who's got a ministry from God must be mature. Not according to Corinthians. Let's see. Oh, goodness. Isn't this something? The way God's provided for us to grow up as mature sons and daughters, as ones that he would call spiritual, is by feeding on his word. See, because think about it. Could a man heal a bunch of people and then point to those healings as a sign of his own righteousness? Yes, he could. I see him do it all the time. Is the healing from God? Yes, it is. But up here, they're still what? They're carnal. See, even though they're operating the power of God, are they doing it God's way? No, because who's getting the glory? They are. See? They bring forth the word of prophecy, and they say, what a great word of prophecy that was. Boy, I'm pretty important in the body of Christ. That shows you what kind of man they are. Even though they're operating the Spirit of God, they're carnal. So maybe they got a hold of the keys and managed to actually turn that thing, but they don't know how to use it properly, you see? So the fact that somebody operates manifestations or even operates a ministry in the body of Christ, that's by grace. God gave you that. That's by grace. But growing is by your choosing to feed upon the Word of God. That's how we become spiritual men and women, mature men and women in the body of Christ. Men and women that can really use those things God's given for profit, you see. Let's look at Ephesians 4, please. I really think that many Christians often get the idea that power from God is a reward for maturity. Power from God is not a reward for maturity. Power from God is a gift that you received in the new birth, you see. Well, you think about it. In the first century church, and the way it should be today, people got born again and spoke in tongues immediately, right? So if that speaking in tongues was a reward for maturity, how long did they have to get mature before they spoke in tongues? 2 seconds? Power from God is part of the gift of Holy Spirit. It's yours the moment you're born again. The moment you're born again, if you choose to, you could receive revelation from God. You could heal people. All those other things that come with the gift of Holy Spirit. Those are not earned from God. Those are part of what God gives you in Christ. The reason people take time to operate all those things isn't because God's doling them out one at a time. It's because of their ignorance or unbelief. See? But all of those things are part of what God gave you. You could heal people the moment you're born again. You've got it within you. Maturity, however, that's grown into, and it's grown into by feeding on the Word of God. See? And the man or woman who has not chosen to feed upon the Word of God, they're going to find the deep things of God to be very foolish. See? And it's always going to be that way because maturity in Christ is something that we grow into by our choice as to what we're going to feed upon. Ephesians 4 tells us that God thinks it's a good idea for us to grow up. Verse 14 of Ephesians 4 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That would also be an earmark of the carnal man. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. God wants us to grow up in him, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's what God wants. See, we've talked many, many times on these Sunday mornings about this body of Christ that God set us in, and how the way God designed it is for every member to be functioning. He wants the Word of God to be moved by the body of Christ. He wants people to be touched by the body of Christ, not by individuals. So for that to happen, every member's got to be functioning in that body. You know what's required in order for you to function as a member of the body of Christ? You got to grow up. You got to grow up. Or you're just going to be an individual doing things that you think are important that really have no significance whatsoever. Until you get humble and recognize that you brought nothing into the body of Christ but the grace of God. You've got nothing in the body of Christ but the grace of God. And then you begin feeding on his word, genuinely feeding on his word. Then you grow up, see? And then you can be functioning as a member in the body of Christ. That's what God wants. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 3, please. Isn't this enlightening stuff? First Corinthians 3. Verse 1, again. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Do you understand that now? But even as unto babes in Christ. He's talking about after they were born again, he had great things, deep things he wanted to teach them from the Word of God. Some of those things are mentioned in chapter 2. But he was unable to. He was unable to because they hadn't grown any. They were still babies. So he had to teach them baby stuff. Okay. He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, and you're still not able. See, God wants us to grow from the milk to the meat. And the milk is all we need to grow to the meat, but we've got to take it in. The reason he still was giving them milk is they hadn't chosen to digest that milk yet. They hadn't chosen to take it in yet. And all that a Paul can do is feed the milk. He can't force feed it. See, God doesn't work that way. So each of us individually have to decide to feed on the milk of the word. You know, another problem is the carnal man, the babe in Christ, they want to start feeding on the meat of the word. They look at the milk and say, oh, that's just milk. I want to get into the heavy stuff. You can't handle the heavy stuff. You can't handle the truth. You can't handle the heavy stuff. Oh, don't you understand? You feed on the milk. Then you can handle the heavy stuff. One earmark of the carnal man is he thinks he can handle anything. An earmark of the spiritual man is the humility with which he approaches the Word of God. An earmark of the carnal man is the arrogance with which he approaches the Word of God. That shows me he can't handle the meat. You feed on the milk, then you'll be able to handle the meat of the Word one day. And again, that's not judgmental, that's not hierarchical, that's just the truth of God's Word. We need to grow into this stuff. Like he told the Corinthians, I fed you with milk and I'm still feeding you with milk. I want to feed you with meat, but you still can't handle the meat. For you are yet carnal, verse 3. And an indicator of that is there's among you envying, strife, divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as mere men? For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? You know what's interesting here and needs to be noted, he does not say that Paul and Apollos are carnal, does he? No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He says that the people were carnal for taking sides regarding these men of God. He doesn't call the men of God carnal. A man of God has no control over what kind of throne people want to put him on. Okay. Now in 2 Corinthians, the story is different. When you get to 2 Corinthians, which we won't be studying in these Sunday mornings, but if you choose to study it on your own, in 2 Corinthians, the problem was with the men of God putting themselves on thrones. The problem in 1 Corinthians was that here were men of God each operating their individual ministries. And instead of seeing spiritually that each of those ministries was part of the whole that God had given, they were taking sides. They were deciding, I like prophets better than pastors. And I like, oh, do you see? They were carnal. They were babes. They didn't see how God has chosen to work in the body in this day and age. But God never calls Paul and Apollos carnal. Now, there are standards in God's word for how a minister is to minister in the body of Christ. And in fact, the latter part of chapter 3 into chapter 4 deal with some of those standards, and I think we may do one more week on this series and get into some of those truths in chapter 3 and 4 regarding service in the body of Christ, But I just want you to note here that the problem was not with Paul and Apollos and Peter. The problem was with people not looking at things through God's eyes because they were incapable of it, because they hadn't fed on the Word of God. So they were still looking through their senses' eyes instead of seeing things spiritually. That's why verse 5 says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers." That's all they are. "Ministers by whom you believed, even as the" what? "As the Lord gave to every man." For those of you who've been here all 3 weeks, that ought to speak loudly to you. This whole section in Corinthians opened up with him reminding them who their Lord was. Right? They had forgotten who their Lord was. That's why they were going off on their own tangents, setting their own priorities and their own standards in the body of Christ. They had forgotten who the Lord was. And here again in chapter 3, he brings them back to the simplicity of that. How about your Lord? Remember your Lord? Your Lord set these men in the body of Christ for your Lord's reasons, and because he's your Lord, you ought to just shut up. You understand? It's not your call how men and women are set in the body of Christ. It's the Lord's call, and he's your Lord. He's the one who redeemed you. That's what he's reminding these believers in Corinth, see? And there's really the root of maturity in the body of Christ, is recognizing that I acknowledged him as my Lord, and now I'm going to live with him as my Lord. Part of living with him as my Lord requires feeding on the Word so I can grow up and be an effective man or woman, an effective minister in the body of Christ, one who's pleasing to my Lord, who's bringing forth fruit that the Lord will be happy with in ways that the Lord will be happy with. See, because he's our Lord. And that's what's required for us to grow up, to be able to serve him effectually in the body with him as the head. So again, the verses that follow deal with some of the things regarding ministers in the body of Christ that I think will be of great interest to you. But this would be a good place to close today, just seeing once again that men and women who are born again in God's Spirit have all the capabilities. The Word still says we're complete in him when we're born again, right? But there is a maturity question. A man or woman can be born again and still be senses-oriented. A man or woman can be born again and still be a baby spiritually because they have not grown up, and there's no reason for every believer not to grow up quickly, because God's given us the means by which we grow up, and that's the milk of the Word. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, you see. God says you may grow thereby. So if you feed on it, are you going to grow thereby? He promises it. He promises it, see. That's the way we grow up. So even in the body of Christ, there are two kinds of people. Spiritually, there aren't, but from a service horizontal point of view, there's the spiritual man and there's the carnal man. And the carnal man doesn't have to stay a carnal man. So if you've stayed one too long, get out of that crib, okay? Give that bottle to somebody who needs it, because all you got to do is feed on the Word of God and grow up. And then you'll not just have the responsibility, but have the joy of being a functioning member in the body of Christ who's hearing from God on a regular basis, who knows he or she is walking with God and not just doing something, but doing what God wants, how God wants it, with the abilities that God's provided. Okay, so Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you've made this clear in your Word, not to be mean, but to be loving, so that we might serve you more effectively and so that those with a heart and desire can know exactly how to grow up to be sons and daughters who are pleasing to you in their service, Father. Thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Close with number 19.